نعل حانية تسقى من عين عانية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إنا إلينا إيابهم ثم إنا علينا حسابهم صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Welcome to our show, Mubalagha. I'm your host, Aytoon, and with me are present the honorable guests, Maulana Ghayth Hafizi, Maulana Bismil Subhani, and Brother Haj Malik Khalid. The topic of today's discussion is Imam Ali's siyasa, political approach, and its implementation in today's world. And before we enter into our discussion, I would like to request our esteemed guests for a formal introduction. I begin with Maulana Ghayth Hafizi. Maulana, will you kindly tell our audience about your academics and experience of excellence in speech delivery?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وبه نستعين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين والصلاة على أهل بيتي طيبين.
Maulana, doesn't the salam go before the
lana? Salaam alaikum, sister. Who's the Maulana here? Is it me or you? Wa alaikum salam, respected scholars, brothers, sisters, and sister Zaytoon. I was born and raised in the holy city of Qom. I believe I don't have to elaborate about the place of my birth, the city of Ilm, the doorway to Hikmah, the land of the scholars, the city of Masuma Salamu Alaiha.
So you studied in the Hamza
Ilm? No, but our whole town is like Hausa.
Okay, that's great. But I was asking about your studies.
Yes, I did study at home. I got a degree in architectural engineering with honors.
MashaAllah. What about your religious studies, Maulana?
Sister Zaytoon, I already told you the Nuraniyat of Khume Muqaddas Masuma Salamullah Alayh. And also Imam Khomeini saying where he said, I'm tired of masjid and madrasa. It is with the mercy of these great personalities that I chose to preach the message of Ahl al-Bayt while going to school and until now. And inshallah, I'll continue to do it for a very long time.
Got it. Now let us hear from Maulana Bismil Subhani. Salaam alaikum, Maulana. Please tell us about yourself.
Salaam alaikum. Brother Razab, I'm sorry, Maulana, I apologize to give the wrong name, Maulana Riaz. That to learn and spread the teaching of Islam, of Ahlul Bayt, one does not have to go to Rod Hauza. One can bring the Hauza to your house. It's so, a technological age, you can get everything in your house. Even the line, you can become a Maulana. Knowledge of Ahlul Bayt is a trust, which is gifted, not learned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this ilm to the people of pure intention and serving the household of the Prophet. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salawat. Secondly, with the Shia of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, all are scholars by birth. We do not have to go nowhere. We are the followers of Imam Ali. And he is the gate of city of knowledge. So why should we go anywhere any place else? As any child knows about Khaybar Khandaq, Uhud, or Badr, Marra bin Antar, or any other fazails of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and I guarantee you, they don't know all the minor details about Islam and about Ahlul Bayt. Until from the time of the Khalafa to Yazid Malub. Now, since I come to your point for the education, professionally I'm an accountant. I did my CPA degree and I'm on the top of the list in the whole country.
Masha.
And I've been teaching the same line for the last 20 years.
Oh, that's wonderful. So tell me, Malana, how did you become such a renowned speaker? I mean, with your busy schedule, do you have time to read Islamic literature?
No, sister, you know, when I have, I'm in my house, I have a big library, huge library, which has all the Sunni and the Shia authors, all authentic books. So why do I have to go to Hoza or someplace else when I have all the library in my house?
So what sort of authors do you recommend?
Oh, I can't remember all those authors. There are a lot of authors, how can you recommend all the names?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember any names.
Okay.
And whenever I borrow, I just go to share Google and just search any topic, and I get all the answers from there.
Welcome to Love for Technology. Let's move on to Haj Malik Khalidi. Brother, please shed some light on your choosing of this noble profession. But before that, I'm curious to know, why do you like being called Haj instead of Malana?
Thank you for inviting me here, sister, once again. I've been here on your last show. By the way, I want to be up front with you because I haven't received a payment for last time. You still owe me $1,000.
I apologize, brother. I have no control over the payments. I'll get someone to look into it later. Thank you.
Please, could you ask me the question one more time?
Sure. Where did you receive your religious education? And why do you prefer to be called Hajj instead of Maulana?
Answer your first question is that I belong to a family which has served the Haram of Aba Abdullah Salamullah Alayha for 200 years. We consider it a privilege to be chosen for such a reputed duty in this world, and inshallah we will be doing the same in the world to come. We cleaned the shrines of Sayyid al-Shahada and the Bab al-Hawaij until we were forced by Saddam to leave the country. We had to run for our lives. We came to America, and we've been here since. I came, did my law school over here, and very successful man. I have a big law firm, and I'm involved in very multiple of the community projects. And I'm also serving Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. As I said, sister, we moved to the United States when I was only 12 years old. And I learned everything through ijaza of Al-Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, as my family has supported me in always. And I visited Iraq, Iran, several times. And I've been blessed to do so by Ahlul Bayt and the Marja Uzam. Alhamdulillah, I have the ijaza to from every marja to take money and help the community and all the projects.
Okay, and why do you prefer? Oh, sorry. Prefer Hajj over Maulana?
Two reasons. One reason, the first one, is I'm a very young man. I don't think I should be called Maulana. And the second reason is that I have the blessing of Allah Almighty has given me the advantage to go to Hajj already 13 times. And I in fact take people on Hajj and Ziyarat every year. Let me take this opportunity and tell everybody who's over here that we have a website called www.5starhajj.org. Please visit it. And it's a luxury package. We have everything 5-star. And there's nothing like this on this whole earth. And I guarantee it.
Let's get back into the topic of the day. Imam Ali Siyasat, political approach in today's world. I would let Maulana Ghayz Haqiqi begin. Please, Maulana.
Thank you, Sister Zaitun. Imam Ali's political approach was very, very rigid. In today's time, Imam Ali would have been called a dictator by many. And if Imam Ali's political approach was give some, take some, live and let live, Imam Ali's riyasat would have been extended by another 20, 30 years. And I'm sure if Imam Ali had shown some diplomacy and lenience towards Bani Umayyah, his reign would have been much, much, much longer.
What do you have to say, Maulana
Ismail? Thank you, Maulana. Well, as always, I have tried to explain all the time to our innocent-minded people that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and politics are two opposite things. One is a taharat, and the other is najasat. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are pure taharat, and politics, or other name of politics, is corruption. How can the taharat of ayat that he get involved in worldly vices, talking about Imam Ali ibn Talib alayhi salam, salawat? Who was the mother of Taharat verses, and Muawiyah rahmatullah alayhi was a cunning politician who involved Imam Ali alayhi salam into so many fitnas, causing killing of hundreds and thousands of Muslims. Imam Ali's message was peace and harmony through the taqwa and piety. All the peace-loving people of the world still call upon Imam Ali's day and night, and we see the followers of Banu Umayyah are still causing fitna everywhere in the whole world.
Now on to you, Hajj Khalidi.
Well, I agree and disagree with the respected ulama. I will explain myself scientifically and psychologically and also physiologically and this whole argument. Thank regarding Imam Ali, we all know that his government failed. He was killed and Muawiyah prevailed. Now, we compare the time of Imam Ali with the time of the Prophet, salamullahi alayhi. In Prophet's time, he let people who were especially mischief makers, he made them busy, gave them a lot of work to take care of the welfare of the people. So when they were busy, there was no one doing fitna. So he was able to spread Islam, and Islam flourished. It became a very big religion. If Imam Ali had to do the same thing, just all he had to do was follow what the Prophet did, That's why Prophet had him all the time. He didn't lie. And this is what happened. Now we need to have to go to other countries to get higher education. And that is taking too much time for us to establish our religion, Islam, which is such a good religion. And inshallah, we'll have the religion flourish eventually, where we will be able to have salvation, inshallah.
Thank you. Respected scholars. Inshallah, we will have an interactive session and take some calls from our viewers after a short commercial break. So please don't go away.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good. How are you?
How's business?
Oh, business is very good. We are working with the CIA, FBI. We got all the contracts, so we're working very closely with them.
Can you please put me in touch with them?
Oh, inshallah, inshallah. This is your business. Inshallah, I'll get you to my sources over there. She's back. Sister, please arrange my $2,000 check, because I have to go and for this program, and I want to make sure I get my money.
Brother, I thought you charged only $1,000.
That is right, $1,000 for this show and $1,000 last time I came.
Sister Zaitun, how come you're giving Maulana $1,000 and giving me $500? I was born in Khum, studied in Khum, and I'm older and more experienced.
I don't write the contract.
Sister, the two is a pretty sharam diga lagi hai. Kuch to tusi insaaf karo na. Main CPA. I learned that much, spent that much time to get a CPA degree. I normally charge $500 for half an hour consultations. And you're just paying me $200. Normally, even sadaqa is more than that. And I don't know that I'm a sayyid, I don't get sadaqa anyway.
See, brothers, I charge $1,000 every time I go speak. This is not only time. And the money I make, so much money, because it's not for myself. I give it to all the charitable organizations that I support. You people take the money, keep it in your pocket.
I know this is a trick. You owe him $1,000 from last time. You're not going to get a dime. You're going to stick it to us like you did Maulana last time. We are out of here.
Brother, you should have discussed it before the show.
No, I'm out of here.
Yes, we spent so much time in getting all this education and spreading Islam all over and teaching kids and everybody Islam, the real Islam we're teaching it. And we are just getting this much money. I mean, it's a shame.
But this is what happens, and it will keep happening if we invite people like you.
What do you mean by you?
I'm sorry, you don't have a formal education in Islam anyway.
We got a formal education. I told you we have a lot of books. I read all of that.
Please give my money before I leave. I need my $2,000 right now.
I'm sorry, Muhammad. We don't have it.
And let me clear one more thing to you. I do not believe in checks. Especially when checks come from you people, they always bounce.
I want my cash,
red green cash right now. Thank you.
Well, I guess what our audience has learned from today is that we really need to be educated in who we are inviting. That's all I can say. Sorry. Let's end with a salat.
Allah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هي نستعين وهو المعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. So you notice that I did not say La'anatullah in the beginning and then صلى الله على آله الطيبين. Brothers and sisters, before we start our presentation today, I would like to ask the audience that what did you learn today? What do you think? What was this play for? And is that a fact outside? Or is it just a play? Or that is just a show?
It is fact.
It is fact? Do you all believe that it's a fact?
Yes.
Unless you are an organizer and if you're the general public, you will not know that.
I'm sorry?
If you are an organizer of a community, you would know that. But if you are a general public, if you're a layman, you would not know that.
So anybody from general public who knows about that fact, anybody, please raise your hands if you know that fact. You know that? Anybody else who knows?
He's not organizer, but they know that. You know about that. Anyone else? From the ladies, sisters?
Some Maulana really have a big price tag, and we know about
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I had a general comment, you know, that we know in the secular world what the credentials are. You know, there's a BA degree, there's a master's degree, a PhD degree, and it is fairly convenient to talk to people and say, well, what's your background? And they say, well, I have a bachelor's in engineering. Mm. Maulana, typically, all they say is, I'm a Maulana. You know what I mean? Is it political Islam? Or, you know what I mean? All these darajat, we don't know. We, first of all, sometimes don't have the, I mean, we now do know. It was a point when to even know that there is somebody who just tell us not that there is that specific degree was not common knowledge. Now it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there are these darjahs and for somebody to ask and
good.
That person to reveal.
Good comment. Okay. Anything else that you learned from this play?
I just wanted to say that when I became a Muslim, the Sheikh told me, he said, just because somebody has robes on doesn't mean that they're really a Sheikh.
Masha'Allah. Can I question Maulana Taqvi and Maulana Shahrani? Please come forward. Please move forward and be on the stage. Please say salawat. Salli ala Muhammad. Yes, please. Help us. Please be there. Brothers and sisters, when we started thinking about Tabligh, we thought that the facts that we have outside within the community, and many communities they are facing that problem in every day. It is important that before we go through and speak about Tabligh, what it is, what are the conditions of Mubaligh, or speak about the circumstances of Tabligh, it is important that we need to address that. There has to be a time when we have to address some of the issues. If we do not address, then problem is going to remain. Issues, if they are not tackled at time, then they are going to remain. For example, if I am sick, if there is a disease, and if I am not going to go to the doctor, this disease is going to remain. So we all know that within the people, those who come on the podium and speak about various subjects, they are not capable to address that subject. They do not have proper education. And if you, God forsake, if you ask them that are you educated? These are the answers that you probably heard. I visited 3 times Haram Masuma. So I am knowledgeable. Right? Is that proof of the knowledge? Or we actually were speakers from our family creed. All of them were speakers. So I became speaker too. That is another answer. Third answer, you can listen that I have a large library. I learned, I did research, and now I'm a scholar. So brothers and sisters, for the fact, if I like to learn science, what I'm gonna do? If somebody opens a shop and he or she has many books over there, scientific books, and they say that this is the place where you can learn about the science, am I gonna go on that shop? If somebody opens the office and they say that I'm gonna teach you science, but I do not have any certificate, anything, but I would like to teach you about science. So definitely we will go to the universities, we will go to the proper places, we will go to the teachers, those who are science teachers, and if I like to enroll my child into the medical school, then also I will find best of the medical schools. Is that correct? So with that, I would like to start today's presentation. Please say a loud salawat. Alhamdulillah, we have many colleagues, brothers and sisters, those who are going to speak about this important subject. And the show that we had, it was mubalagha, it was not tabligh. We consider there is a muballigh and there is a mubaligh who just exaggerates. There's no place for mubaligha within Islam, but there is an other important term. Let me read one of the verses of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alladina yuballighuna risalatillahi wa yakhshawnahu ولا يخشون احدا الا الله وكفى بالله حسيبا. Can you please change? So this is the content of our presentation today. We will share in this presentation. I have Maulana Nafis Taqvi, one of the resident alim in Atlanta. Maulana Mazen Sahlani is also a resident alim in a masjid, Maulana?
Pennsylvania.
And also we have Maulana Ayub Rashid. He is a renowned speaker within the world, and also he is resident alim in London. We have Sister Zarmina Awan. She is also one of the speakers, and also she learned from Hausa. I've heard that there is a sister within our gathering. She is also educated in Hausa. Can she raise her hand? Yes. Please come forward. Please join with us. Please say salawat. So brothers and sisters, within this verse of Quran, we can find the term that has been used that has various names, or there are various terms that are being used in the Quran about tabligh. One of the terms that is formally used for preaching, that is tabligh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, those people who preach, alladhina yuballighuna risalatillahi, those who preach and the messages that are being sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa yakhshawnahu, and they have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la yakhshawna ahadan illallah, and they do not have fear other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for them. In this verse you can find there are various conditions, but I'm not going to go in detail, but I just wanted to say that you can see the term tabligh, it is used in this verse. Second term that is used for tabligh, that is inzar or tabshir. Indar, that means warning of people. Tabshir, that good tiding and good news. So Prophet was called Mubashir and Nadir. Third term is used as takhweef, sometimes warning the people and raising the fears of chastisement, adab for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that also, the verse has been quoted. Can you go to the next slide, please? After Balagh, Indar Tamshir, then we have takhweef. After that, please. Another term that has been used for tabligh, hidayat and irshad. So you can see, yahdi ila rushd fa amanna bih. Next. Da'wat. One of the important terms that has been used for tabligh, that is inviting people, taking initiative to invite other people. So Prophet, peace be upon him, used to invite the people, and he was taking the initiative that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was asking him, invite the people towards Islam. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. That Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that, oh my Lord, I have invited the people day and night. So that means the struggle that we like to put for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tabligh, it's not something that I went somewhere and I delivered a speech and then I am satisfied. No. Tabligh, it is a continuous effort, and it has to happen during the days and nights, and the person has to be continuously inviting people. Need of tabligh. When we think about the need of tabligh, brothers and sisters, in today's world, there are various types of the needs that exist outside. And we need muballigh and we need tabligh, because we can see the misconceptions outside in after Amrul Maruf and Nahi al Munkar. Yes.
One more down?
No, you went further, I think. Okay. So let me go through with that. There was just one slide was missing. I would like to complete that. It was meaning of tabligh, amrul maruf, and nahi al munkar, that is existing within our community. Of course, we, as a Muslim, we have a responsibility that we have to do amrul maruf and nahi al munkar. Next, please. When we look at tabligh, where it has to start? Should it start, for example, that we go outside and start speaking with the people? And many people, those who like to go to the houses, one of the most important concern that I would like to go to do tabligh. No, that is not our ambition. The mission of a mubaligh, it has to be that purifying himself or herself. That is the first task, that if I like to be mubaligh, I have to purify myself. If somebody is not learned, if somebody is not practicing, how that is possible that they would be able to do tabligh outside and they would like to invite other people? Tabligh is like putting a candle outside and enlightening the world. And this candle itself, if it's not enlightening, if there is no light in this candle, how that is possible that it's going to enlighten? That is why Prophet, peace be upon him, was said, Qum fa'andir, ya ayyuhal muddathir. You should stand up and warn the people. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. You should glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa thiyabaka fatahhir. And you have to clean and purify your own clothing. At this time, I would like to ask Brother Ayyub Rashid to speak about the next subject. Please say salawat.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The Islamic way of tabligh, page 4, if you have the page, and it says at third stage, Allah asked from Prophet to deliver the message to close relatives. And here the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Shu'ara says, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and admonish thy nearest kinsmen. We understand that a muballigh is the one who not only thinks for others outside his family. You have to think about your closest family first, because people, whatever you say to them, they may challenge and ask you, why don't you tell your closest family members? So for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. As we understand the history behind the revelation of this surah, or this ayah in particular, the Holy Prophet, when he started his mission in Mecca, he was told, now go to your nearest kinsmen. And it was here the terminology Dawat Dhil Ashira came about, when he called his closest family and he said, I have been sent to you. Who among you will help me? And we understand that it was only Imam Ali alayhi salam who stood up three times to say, I will be your wazir, your brother, and your khalifa. And for this reason, if we want to be, inshallah, successful in our ways of tabligh, we need to begin with our family members. But before that, the slide which he says, then in the next stage he was asked, is for Sister Zamir.
Yeah, the next stage then was where the Prophet is told, O Prophet, tell thy wives and daughters and the believing women that they should pass their outer garments over their persons when abroad. So in this stage, the Prophet is told to do tabligh to the women. And the fact that the women have been addressed in a separate verse emphasizes the importance of tabligh amongst women. There is a quote from Malcolm X where he says that if you educate a man, you educate one person. But if you educate a woman, you educate and liberate a nation. And this highlights that it's not only important for the sister as an individual, for the woman as an individual to really receive some kind of religious knowledge, but it equips her with the correct tools so she can educate her children. And the effects of this are seen in the following generations also. The finest example of this that we have is the Islamic Revolution in Iran. Some years before the revolution actually came about, we see a whole new system of Islamic education which focuses on the women. And it's this system which ultimately brings about the Islamic Revolution. Because we see that firstly, it's these women who are at the forefront of political activism and in the struggle, and they're demonstrating and protesting against the Shah. In some cities, it was actually the women who pour out into the streets first, and it's when the men see this bravery and this courage of the women that they actually gain some courage to follow them. So that was the first thing. The second thing is that these women then, who received this religious knowledge, who, when the belief is done amongst the women, these women are then able to nurture and educate such sons, who we see in Iran, when in the war with Saddam, we see sons who welcome martyrdom. We see sons who not only welcome martyrdom, but they actually anticipate martyrdom. We see sons who, for the sake of the victory of Islam, they're prepared to be blown to bits. And this is another effect of tabligh amongst women. And this would not have been possible, either of these things, if the aspect of tabligh amongst women had not been given that importance. Because a mother who has access to Islamic knowledge and takes advantage of that knowledge, she's able to equip her child with the best qualities, the highest attributes of morality. And it is this mother who can teach her child the difference between haq and batil. Unfortunately, in some of our communities, nowadays, I can speak for England, but amongst some of the communities, we have a problem that in this in this trend of other being involved in other controversies, Tabligh amongst women has been neglected, and their educational needs, unfortunately, are not being met. And it's because of this neglection that their questions are remaining unanswered. There's a lack of programs which are specific for them. And this is not really oppression of women, but if this continues, then the ripples of it will be seen throughout society, and the effects of it will be seen in later generations.
Yes, this is when we look at this subject with that angle, that has been said in Islam, and how Allah SWT has
move towards another subject, that is qualities of a muballigh, because after that show, at least this is one of the things that you are all curious, that what are the most important qualities of a muballigh, and how we can define somebody, with what type of qualities we should understand that a person can be a muballigh. In the beginning, of course, this is an obvious condition that is neglected within the community today, and that is the quality of being knowledgeable and practicing according to the knowledge. I combined both, although both are separate conditions. Both are individual conditions. That is not just one condition. But I said that because maybe there are many people, those who claim that they have knowledge. Having knowledge is not sufficient. But practicing according to the knowledge, it makes that knowledge a firm knowledge. Otherwise, we consider many types of the knowledge that exists outside, it's just information. So there are two types of the terms. One is information, and second is knowledge. In order to say that something, it becomes knowledge, we believe that when something, it becomes practicing in our life, and the person has a complete submission about that, that becomes a form of knowledge. That is why I combined both of them, being knowledgeable and practicing according to that. Otherwise, if somebody has a good talent and is very smart, and one of the questions that my brother had raised, that you know, our scholars, they do not have certificates sometimes, and if they come and tell us that we have a certificate, then we will be able to understand and realize that a person has a certificate. So let's say if somebody from United States of America goes to Iran, and he has a little good talent, or maybe he or she is a smart person, and they went through these studies in a few days, 1 year, 2 years, and they completed the course, and they went into the examination room, and they completed the exam, and comes back with a certificate showing that, you see, I have this certificate. Then what's going to happen? Are we going to sell our religion with that? So one of the fears that it was existing in the past within the houses, that our scholars, scholarly, they were deciding that we don't want to give certificates, but we would like to have the scholars living within the houses, practicing accordingly, being with the other scholars like Maharaja, and looking at the life of Maharaja and becoming trained and purified according to their akhlaq. So when they are trained with these important trainings, at that time they become as a scholar, and then they can be influential to the communities. Then it's possible that they will be practicing people within the communities as well. Second condition that is really important, that is neglected most of the times, and that is the condition of tabligh. Can you please all say salawat?
Allah.
one more salawat and all together. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The person who wants to do tabligh, he or she should have a quality of initiative, taking the initiatives. As I said in the beginning, that Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was not only a muballigh, that sitting somewhere and preaching people. No, he was the person sometimes goes outside, speaks with the people, inviting people, sometimes training the people, sending them to the various places. So there were various actions that Prophet, peace be upon him, was taking those initiative, making the mosques, building the mosques. This was one of the quality of the Prophet, peace be upon him. When he entered to the city of Medina, the first place where he entered, he made a mosque in Quba, the place of Quba. Then he enters into the city of Medina. Before he makes his own house, Prophet, peace be upon him, asked the people, let us start building the mosque. So these initiatives have to come from a muballigh, and a muballigh has to take the lead of the community in his own hands, and that is how he can be successful in his tabligh. So I would like to request Brother Ayub Rashid, if he can speak one of the qualities, share one of the qualities, and then I will.
One of the qualities of a muballigh is committed in time management and organized. When we talk about committed in time, we find that some people think that doing tabligh is a part-time job. Anyone can do on his or her spare time. So on Sunday, let us go and do tabligh. A group will go out and let's say, we call them seasonal muballigh, for example, during Easter time and other holidays. But to tell you the truth, tabligh is a full-time job. There was a time I was teaching a group of students, and I said a question which I wanted to know their kind of understanding. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli wa sallam, was he A, I gave them three choices there. Was he A businessman, B, a muballigh, and C, he didn't do anything. So many of my students went to a businessman. He was a businessman. Unfortunately, this I wanted to teach them, that the Holy Prophet, his job, if we can use the word muballigh, he was Nabi, of course. But he did invite people to Islam. Today, unfortunately, many people miss to see this connection, that Rasulullah was a muballigh. His full-time job was that, calling people towards Islam. Now, when we talk about committed in time management, we know that Islam is based on time management. Before we go to work in the morning, we go to salah, we pray. Dhuhr, you take a break, you pray, Dhuhr and Asr. You go home, Maghrib and Isha. If you cannot manage the time for Salah, then the whole life cannot be manageable. But today, that management of time, we have left it with non-Muslims, and Muslims are known to be the worst people who can manage their time. And maybe there are few muballighin who don't keep time, especially during majalis, in some communities, not all. They say that if the Maulana would say Majlis will begin at 9 sharp, then people will come at 10, and the Majlis maybe will start at 10:30. While in other communities, it's not like that. So the Muballigh needs to manage his time properly, and people, of course, need to help him in that. And when we say management of the time, so the Muballigh is a manager, not only of the time, but the place where the work of tabligh is taken place, and he is the organizer of the whole community and the place where he goes. So when we say he needs to have this specific quality of committed in time management and organized, that means that this work is not a part-time job, but it is a full-time job.
I request Maulana Nafees to choose one of the qualities and speak for that. There are many qualities that we've listed. We do not want to go through each one of that, but some of them we would like to speak for that.
Assalamu alaikum. Who's there with watch? Your watch? Can you clean your watch? You can clean your watch?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. What time now? You see again.
10 minutes.
This is attention. One person cleaning his watch 15 minutes and standing right. I say, what time is now? You 15 minutes looking at your watch. And I'm asking, what is the time you're watching again? This is attention. If you have no attention, you cannot see your small life. How can you understand the tabligh, and how can you understand the huge quality of the mubaligh and huge quality of the Islam and values of Islam without attention? This is must. We pay attention for understand Islam. This is not only duty of mubaligh. This is first duty started by the audience. If my children have a sick, she is a sick, I have a daughter, she is sick. When I go to hospital, I'm searching the doctor. Not a ward boy, not a cleaner man, not a only a receptionist. Oh, this is my daughter. No, I'm searching a good doctor. But when I have a majlis, I'm never searching for a right person. Because lots of people after the Prophet challenged, we are the representative of the Prophet. But two kinds of people never challenged. One is the Mimbar and one is the Zulfiqar. Because they have no force for the Zulfiqar and no, they had no knowledge for Mimbar. Only the Khilafat. No. Only for the person was for Mimbar, only Hazrat Ali alayhi salam. And also, so first, this is our duty. When we near the Muharram is near and Ramadan is near, we searching and talking about the tabarruk. What is the tabarruk? How to manage? What is the system of sitting? What is the enter door? What is the exit? Everything we have, but we never talking about the quality of tabligh and mubaligh. This is for our first duty. We should, because there's a without attention, we cannot reach our goal. And also, tabligh are two kinds. One is ruhani, one is the physical. One is the psychological and physical. The tools are of tabligh are changed, will change that according to time. You're looking in the market, some pictures about Abdullah and Ali Akbar and Ali Asghar and Awal Fadl al Abbas, you're watching that. Sometimes you're watching somebody like a play and drama and doing the presenting the Karbala Waqi Karbala. That is the way of tabligh. Because the sometimes audience are educated, you can write that story about the Karbala and about the Imam, they can understand and read. Sometimes audience are not understand and not, they cannot read, they are blind, but they can hear. There's a way of telling them, there's a speech. And sometimes the way of tabligh is the picturing, imaging. You can image your thinking and thoughts, and that's Karbala and another one. And sometimes by the play, by the books, by the speech, everything. But we can change the tool, but we cannot change the main goal. We cannot change the knowledge. The must. Nowadays, where is the changes? The knowledge is changing. Why? Well, because the people are not unhappy by the real story. So I need to make a story, then they can say wah wah and they can love me. No. So, alhamdulillah, my elder brother is very, this is a duty and also women's duty. Because women's, we can, we tell you, oh, women should be a hijab. That is not a hijab is not a foundation. This is a crown. Why the crown? why my car is not protected, but the car of the president is by protected by the guards? Why? Because he's an important person. A woman is a very, very important person. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is Raziq, Allah is Khaliq, the children delivered by the woman. Allah is Raziq, the food by the delivered by the woman. Allah is Mutakallim, the Mutakallum and speaching and talking is a mother language. Nobody can say father language. What is your father language? Everybody say mother language. No, Matrabhasha in Hindi, Matrabhasha. No, nobody can say Pitrabhasha. Somebody can say Madri Zabani, Madri Zaban, not the Pitari Zaban. Okay? In every language, there's a mother because the words teach by the woman. So woman is the very, very important subject. So we should know the man is the trust of Allah, trust in Allah, trust in Allah. If Muballigh is scared by the Allah and trust in Allah, this is a man thinks for Muballigh. So first we pay attention, what kind of Muballigh we invite, what kind of knowledge and what is our problems, we telling and thinking and talking about them. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
Brothers and sisters, I would like to share one of them, and I'll ask each one of you that if you can share about that with me. And that is being courageous and bold. Most of the time, you know, we have scholars, those when they come in the community and they may ask from organizers, what subject would you like that I speak for? And then organizers, they say, Maulana, only you should speak some akhlaqi and fiqhi subjects. Don't speak more than that. Right. Or sometimes they say, Maulana, don't say any political word. We don't want you to speak about certain subjects. I was saying my own story a few days ago. I was invited by a community, and they sent me a letter. And that letter, they wrote a few conditions. They said, your message has to be message of love, not the message of hate. You should not speak about any government. You should not speak about any group. And you should only speak about some religious issues. And there were a few conditions listed. And when I read that letter, I said, I'm sorry. I will not be able to make it. So let me ask the audience, what do you think that when we want to invite somebody, should we expect that he or she has to be courageous and bold in delivering a message? Yes.
Probably one of the reasons why they are strict on Maulanas. But I agree that, you know, the Maulanas has to be courageous to talk about the subject that is utterly important to the community. So,
anybody else would like to share?
I was going to say that sometimes this issue can be two-sided, because you can, you may not know a Maulana's background, and you may invite them, and they may actually be one of the kinds that you don't, I mean, like, it can reverse itself, you know what I'm saying? That if he's not knowledgeable, and they're just into masayib or something, and you want more than that, and this person is not capable of doing that. And so sometimes you only find that out when they come. So at least in our experience is that we will invite most everybody without preconditions, and then find out what kind of individual this is that then determines future invitations or lack of it. So it can be either way, you know.
I understand, brothers, but he said that if we invite somebody that we do not know, should we invite somebody we do not know them?
I think the scholar should be sometimes sensitive, I mean, of the issues, because, I mean, you don't want to push people away also. I mean, like hijab or issue. I mean, a lot of sinners, the Shias even, you know, they might not wear hijab, but obviously most Shias, we know hijab is an obligation. But if we go there and say hijab, you know, if you don't wear hijab, it's haram and you're going to hell, you might, you know, the people who are borderline might go away instead of bringing, pulling them back in.
Good.
That could be an issue.
Good. So that comes, it's nothing to do with being courageous, and at the same time, he has to be wise. And when we say somebody has to be courageous in Islam, it's like one of the qualities of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was bold in delivering the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, he was wise, hakim. Knew about the circumstances and knew about the society, how he has to deliver and what he has to deliver.
Because I have further question about qualifications, because that was...
Yes, we will have a question. We will have a question about that. Let us finish that and we'll go through the questions.
Sister,
yes?
I personally would, I think they should be courageous and bold when they come, and I think they should speak about politics and what's going on in the world. And because I, as a revert, people are always asking me, well, why do you do this, or why do you do that, or blah, 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 you know, something like that. People want to know what is behind Islamic thinking in what's going on in the world. And I want to be able to tell them something. You know, I don't want to sit there like an idiot. I want to be able to say, well, you know, this sheikh or this mullah or whatever, he explained it this way. So
good.
I think it's good.
Mullah, would you like to share a few minutes?
I think we don't have in many centers, while I visit them, we just listen, we don't respond. When Maulana come give a speech, we just listen and we go, we eat dinner and we go. We should change this style. While we listen to the lecture, we should make a discussion after the lecture. So we will know where is the weak points and what is our community stand for. The second thing, any mobile or you know, we cannot force him to speak about this subject and this subject, as Maulana just mentioned it. But mobile has to know also the background of the community. We can now, if we have two families, they broke out, we cannot reconcile between them unless we know the background of their history. You cannot reconcile between them unless you know those families. The same thing, we are not here just to educate the people. The tabligh, it is not the goal for education. The tabligh not to create families, they know the faith. The tabligh to create the family, they live with the faith. To know the faith, this is education. To live with the faith, this is ethics. And this is the goal of Majalis, and this is the goal of Tabligh. Thank you.
Sister, would you like to share another quote?
Another quality would be welcome productive criticism. And I think it's important for Mughallu to be able to welcome and to accept constructive criticism from others. In fact, not only welcome it, but they should even thank the other person for the criticism. And if we find that perhaps there's a feeling of offence or dislike when somebody criticises the way we've conducted anything, then perhaps we need to look into ourselves and see maybe there's some pride in there that was damaged. So, and if it's because of pride that we can't accept that criticism, then we need to do something about that pride. Thank the person for the criticism, and then go back and see if their criticism is correct, and then correct our tabligh method according to that criticism.
So everybody understands that this is one of the qualities of the leadership as well. So anybody who wants to manage and lead the community, he should have sense of criticism. And criticism is important. Sometimes it's constructive, productive criticism. And
he should be have a listening ear, paying attention to what community says, because he's not perfect. We, as well, we are also not a perfect people. Maybe sometimes we have shortcomings, and with the criticism we can perfect ourselves, and we should have that important quality as well. I would like to share another important quality, and that is the quality of supporting the leadership. Brothers and sisters, when we look at the Muballib, in the time of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he says salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sometimes, you know, when you go in a majlis and you listen various subjects, somebody speaks about wudu, ghusl, and maybe sometimes various types of ghusl, and also they would like to speak about akhlaq, but they don't like to speak about leadership. Is that an important subject? Oh, it's not an important subject. Supporting the cause of leadership, is it a duty? Or it's not a duty? When we look in the life of Prophet, peace be upon him, we realize that Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked, Ya ayyuha rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayk, wa illam taf'al fama ballaghta risalata, wallahu ya'assimuka minan nas. O Prophet, you should deliver the message that was being sent down to you. And if you do not deliver that message, then you have not delivered any message in the past. So probably every Shia, all Mu'mineen, those who are sitting over here, you know probably that this ayah was revealed for, what was this revealed? Eid al-Adhir, yes. This ayah was revealed before the incident of Adhir. So what Prophet has done after this ayah was revealed? He appointed Amir al-Mu'mineen as his deputy. Is that correct? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, peace be upon him, O Prophet, if you do not deliver this message, that means you have not done any duty as a messenger. That means leadership is so important. Sometimes it's equal to whole tabligh and the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He says salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Today we live in another time. For example, Muslims are going through oppression, suppression in various places. Should we touch this subject or we should not? In the past, of course, we did not have Jummah khutbahs, but now, alhamdulillah, it has become a norm. And I can remember around 20, 30 years ago, if you go in a Jummah khutbah, what's going to happen? So Maulana is going to read an Arabic khutbah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And then saying salawat upon all the prophets and a'imma alayhi salam. And after that, he would say, wassalamu alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, with very good Arabic accent. And then he stands up on musalla, and he would pray, and everybody would go back. Right? So this was khutbah in the past. But alhamdulillah, with the Islamic revolution, the trend was changed. We as a Muslim have realized that today in this time, we have to take stand. We have to speak. We have to deliver the issues of Muslim Ummah. This is one of the duties of Muballigh. So let's say if there is time of Prophet, peace be upon him, right? And there is a war between Muslims and Mushrikeen. And Prophet wants to deliver a sermon. What subject he's going to touch? Is he going to speak about ghusl?
He's going to speak about war. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet, peace be upon him, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, harrathil mu'minina ala al-qital. O Prophet, you should invite people, encourage the people for the war. So that means Prophet was not only a prophet. Sometimes he was a commander-in-chief. Sometimes he was a leader. Sometimes he was a governor. Sometimes he was a judge. Right? With all these qualities. So when we are in war, should we start speaking about the ghusl, kafan, mayyat, and this and that? All? With every time, we have to change our strategies, and Muballigh has to speak. And we should ask sometimes. This is really important. Brothers and sisters, if our community members, they stay silent, if they don't take that as an important subject, and they do not share with the speakers. So if there is Ashra, I can remember that there was a time when the United States attacked on Iraq. And during those days, many of the scholars, they were reciting Ashra Muharram. Whole 12 days passed. They discussed about love, hate, whatever. There were various subjects that were being discussed, but they never discussed about the current issue. What do you think about that?
Are leaders, I mean, are mullahs and leaders qualified enough to touch on subjects? Maybe they're not expert. Should they be psychologists? Should they be therapists? Should they be economists? Politicians? I mean, should they get involved? I mean, how far should, I'm thinking, you know, what are, should they touch something that they're not qualified?
You see, when we say being qualified, we actually based our presentation in the beginning that a person should be qualified. If they are not qualified, they are not mullah.
Yeah, but I mean, how is it easy for mullah to be qualified in all these different subjects? I mean, how should they?
I'm not saying all these subjects. I'm speaking about Islam.
Islam. But I mean, you're saying current issues. Current issues.
Yes, current issue. Islamic view about the current issues.
Right.
Islam has various views. I want to say my opinion, Islamic opinion about that issue. I don't want to speak about politics outside, what this government is, what it is. I want to say my opinion, Islamic opinion. So it is my duty that I have to deliver what Islam says about this problem. If I do not know about that, then I'm not capable to deliver that message. So I would like to ask Brother Ayub.
One of the qualities which a Muballigh need to have is, let me take you a little bit on welcome to the productive criticism, which my sister has mentioned something. Sometimes we mix between the two terminologies. One is criticism and another one which is feedback. Receiving feedback, no one can refuse to receive feedback. And people actually like to get feedback if you want to progress in your life. However, people don't like to be criticized. And that's why Maulana very well, yani, he put the word here, productive criticism. However, there is akhlaq in it when we criticize people, productive criticism, or we give them feedback, it shouldn't be in front of people. Because as human beings, we have that sense of honor. I shouldn't be criticized in front of people. Why did you say that on me, Bar Maulana? And then I will have to defend myself, because that is my dignity. And we understand, our Imam alayhi wasalam used to say, if you want to advise someone,
take him to the corner alone, tell him something which only you and him may know about that issue. So that is something which I wanted to add here. Another thing which is very important to mention here is the issue of open-minded and firmness. When we talk about open-minded, we know that a Muballigh, the way the discussion is going here, is the person who knows. So if he needs to be an open-minded person who can discuss about various issues and with the community at all, and he shouldn't be a closed kind of a person who comes to deliver a lecture this year, the same, next year, the same thing, and the year after, the same thing, like we have in Africa, for example. If a Maulana sticks to one particular subject, they will brand him a name. And almost every Maulana has been given a name by the community. So we need to open ourselves up in order for us to deliver the message properly. When we talk about firmness, of course, when we talk about Islamic issues, whether it is a political issue, something to do with anything, there is that istiqama. When we recite Suratul Fatiha, in every salah we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ihdina siratal mustaqim. That istiqama is very important. If today I may come and say something to you, I go to other people because we are not knowing one another, and I say something else, that istiqama will not be there. A Muballigh who is a firm in his work, he always says what is the truth without fearing anyone. According to the Holy Quran, there is very important issue that la yakhafuna lawmata la'in. Those people who are true believers, they don't fear the blame of anyone who blames. They will talk anything, whether you like it or not, but this is the Holy Quran, this is what the Holy Prophet says, and this is what A'imah alayhi wasalam have said.
Notified that time is running out. I would like to take this opportunity. There was a subject that was very important. We want to discuss for that. That is freedom of the belief. I can just go through that slide. You can just see. But after that, we would like to take the questions. And we have a panel of brothers and sisters. They can answer your questions. I know that there are various important questions that you would like to ask about Tabligh. So when we say about Tabligh and freedom, Tabligh must be based on complete freedom, freedom of speech and deliverance, what they want to speak, freedom from pressure of the community. So they should not feel that if they are being pressurized by the community, they should not speak about that. They have to speak. Freedom of system and the government or the groups. There should not be any pressure on them because government is not allowing, then definitely it is an important that they have to be free. Freedom of self-interest, sometimes if they are not being paid, as you know, these Maulanas were sitting over there and they were asking you when you are going to pay my check. So if they are thinking about their own check and all the time they are having self-interest, they will not be able to deliver free. Free from fears and griefs, and also free from suppression. With that, I would like to request everybody that if after looking at this presentation, although we could not complete that because of the shortage of time, and another thing that I feel that this is a scholarly subject, maybe many people, they might think that what's something to do with us. It is really important. Everyone, we all are suffering in this, that. And it's not just a scholarly subject. We wanted to share with all of you that community members have to be aware with that. And they have to live with awareness. Today we are not living in old ages. We are not living in stone ages. We are living in the time of communication. And during this time, it is important for us that we must know. So with a loud salawat, let us start some questions.
Allahumma salli ala
good personality, clean and good fragrance, looking physical.
Yes. When we look at the lives of Prophet, peace be upon him, and Ahlul Bayt, salam, it is said that when Prophet, peace be upon him, wanted to leave the house at that time, he would look in the mirror, he would make himself prepared, and he was the one of the most cleanest person in the world. And also, one of the likeness of the life of Prophet, peace be upon him, that was fragrance. Right? So he used to buy, it is said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to spend the most of his money on buying best of the spray or perfume or fragrance. That was life of Prophet, peace be upon him. So when we like to deliver the message of Islam, at that time we need to be clean, we need to be presentable, and when we go within the community, a muballigh has to have this quality that he follows the path of Prophet, peace be upon him.
I just had a comment about complexity of subjects, you know, that it can get confused sometimes with moral courage. So that, for example, the war in Iraq or something, whether one does or doesn't take a position on it, one cannot, sometimes people try to say, well, let's not deal with that because it's as complex as molecular biology. Well, no, not really, because it's simply an issue of taking a moral position. And the other issue is that even if it comes to molecular biology, actually we are blessed as Shia, because even that, the Murja has domain over that. Whether he himself does or does not adjudicate, we can defer to him because it's his responsibility then to figure that out. You see what I mean? That we're blessed there. So no matter what, you can't really get away. It's, complexity is not going to be the rationale to get away from trying to make a decision. You know,
it's that, that is a good comment, I think. It was just a comment. Is that right? Yes.
I have a question about number three, that just exactly what is justice? I mean, I know people say it's everything in its proper place, but give me an example. I don't really understand that.
And would you like to share with that?
Just and beyond his self-interest. The beyond his self-interest part, I understand. It's the justice.
Speak about justice. Just. When we talk about justice, especially for a muballigh as a leader of a community, even though he goes there for a few days, he needs, especially if there is, for example, misunderstanding between community members of the community, he should, for example, sometimes we get this, one person may come to you and say, well, Mr. So-and-so has done this and that to me. So in order for me to pass a good judgment, I need to listen to both, rather than to say, oh, he's a terrible person, and justice will not come there. So I have to listen to both. And then when I deliver, for example, the message to the people, I need to make sure it's not only to deal with Mr. X or Y who is sitting there. It's for the sake of the whole community. I should go beyond my own interest even when I deliver that. And this should be based on the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We hear, for example, the stories of companions who say sometimes when the Holy Prophet was speaking, he was as if he was talking to me sitting there. But he wasn't. He was talking to the whole public. And if there is something to deal with one particular person, you deal with that before you go to give a lecture.
I have an example to give you about justice. Now we have, for example, 20 people, 30 people sitting over here. And if there is an exam, and after exam, if I give same mark to everybody, is that justice?
No.
I did equal. I treated everybody equally.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Well, in that case, you wouldn't be putting every person in their proper place, because some people know more than others.
So that means justice. It means وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ عَلَى مَحَلِّهِ, placing everything in its own place. Our ulama, they give very interesting example. They say, if I have this amama, put that under my feet, this is a zulm. I have to place that on my head, right? And if I take shoes and put that on my head, this is also a zulm. This is an example. Everything, it has to be placed in its place. That is the justice. And in Berlin should be a just authority, not treating equal everybody. We have been asked that if there are muttaqi people, you have to have close relation with them. And if there are munafiq, then you should be away from them. You should treat them different. A muballigh cannot treat everybody same. A corrupt person and a muttaqi person. If he's treating both of them same, then he is not muballigh anymore, and he cannot be a just alim.
He should treat the kafir
as a kafir, but as a human being, when he likes to speak with them over there, of course, he has to use his wisdom. He has to try to encourage them towards Islam, but in treatment, he has to be the person that he treats the mu'min different, as it's been said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. Right? Then, of course, I can expand on that. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that there are three types of brothers in your life. One, brother with birth, right? And second, brother in faith. And third, brother in your relation, a blood relation brother. So there can be three types of the brother in your life. But brothers in the faith are being considered in Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً.
The subject, as Maulana has said here, each one of these issues, each one of these points, actually they need a seminar by themselves. And that's why you can see some sort of difference of the way we approach the subject. When I talk about justice, for example, or a mubadir needs to be just, there are a few issues we can act according to equality. But there are others we have to deal according to justice. And equality and justice are not the same. That's why what Maulana says it. However, when, for example, I give a lecture as a mubaligh, I shouldn't focus on looking only at one particular group of people. So I have to make sure I share the moments with all others. That's justice. However, when it comes to talk, for example, some issues which are so difficult, I cannot deliver the same topic to the children the way I deliver it to the adults, and the way I deliver to converts, and the way I deliver, for example, I need to know the community to give them that justice which is needed.
I think time has already passed, so let us stand up and recite our Faraj to have another session, because the next session is starting. We'll share the recitation and everybody would recite. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. I request that with that there is a survey. Please fill that survey and also take this presentation with you and read that at home as well. It's really important. That is being gathered for your information.